Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Monday, May the 24th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. And this hour, we have got a great guest via telephone who's going to be with us this coming Thursday, the day after the big Vax-O-Million drawing on Wednesday night, live in studio. Her first appearance in the studio will be Thursday morning, from 8:10 until 10 a.m. So look forward to that. She hasn't been in studio with us for a while, and we are really looking forward to that visit, as well as today's visit this hour over the telephone. So much going on in Ohio. Last week, we had former Governor Ted Strickland on, the first person to get in the Democratic primary for governor. Mayor of Dayton, Nan Whaley, was on last Friday. And tomorrow morning, by the way, we will have Mayor Scott Schertzer, but at 8:10, we will be joined by somebody else very important to the Ohio governor's race. And that's the tease I'm going to give you. So tune in tomorrow morning at 8:10 a.m. But as many of you know, this is one of my favorite people. She is a treasure in Marion, Ohio, and far beyond. And what a pleasure it is to visit with her in person or over the telephone. The 40th treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine, Scott. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, and I look forward. Thursday, we will have you here in the studio, and we will we'll get into a lot more of the topics we discussed today a little more in depth.
Yes, okay, good.
The first thing I want to talk about, Mary Ellen, is the passing of Norm, your husband. We haven't had a chance to visit with you since that took place back in March. He was 93 years old. You guys were married for 72 years. How are things going?
Well, everything's going just fine. You know, life goes on. And I miss him, but you have to accept those things that they happen, and that's the way it is.
Norm was an interesting guy. How would you describe him to somebody who had never met him?
Well, he was a great person. He loved to play golf, and he loved to work on watches, and he worked at the post office, and he farmed, and he had a stump remover for a while, and those are kind of the things he did in his life. And then he supported me in my political career, which was great because he supported me in whatever I wanted to do, and you have to have that in politics.
You know, we talked about this on the air when he passed away back in March, that he really was an enlightened man. Back in those days, he was your biggest defender and supporter, and was just an incredible man in that way.
That's right. And, you know, I so appreciated that because you can't hardly be a success without the support of your partner. I think anybody would agree with me on that.
You know, Mary Ellen, we all want to know, what is the secret to being married 72 and a half years?
I don't know. I've often thought about it. I think you have to have your own interests. And we did. He had his interests and I had mine. And I think that's probably the best way to operate, to respect each other's interests in doing whatever they want to do, and then, you know, do things together too. You've got to do things together.
He had a great long life, 93 years, and a lot of people face this when they lose a spouse or a brother, a sister, mother, father. How have you been able to cope with it the last few months? Has there been anything that has helped to get your mind off of it or deal with it?
Well, I've done real well. There was only one day where I felt kind of down, but you know, I think about him a lot, and I think about the positive things, and I think that's what you need to do. I got to tell you something funny. In the interest of his support, I remember the Cleveland Plain Dealer was going to have some articles on me that I wasn't very happy about, and when I was getting ready to go to work, he said, "Well, you're going to have to put on your alligator suit." And so I've thought about that a few times, and some of the other things he's said to it never bothered him when there was bad articles in the newspaper, but they bothered me terribly, and on, you know, the commercials, the bad commercials they would show, and I'd go out and walk around the house and try to get it off my mind, and he'd say, "Oh, that doesn't matter," you know. It didn't seem to bother him, but that's the way he approached it.
You know, it was interesting. The video is online of you being sworn in back in 94 as Treasurer of the United States, and you have Lloyd Benson there and Vice President Gore and some other people, and Norm is there. And I'll tell you, the biggest smile is on Norm's face as you were being sworn in, and I thought that is such a nice thing to see.
Yes, yes. He always... He held the Bible every time, you know, and he always had that big smile on, and it was always a big deal for him. I mean, this is really something, and he was always so proud, and so that's what made it good for both of us.
Well, I told the story on the air at the time when he passed away, that I had been over visiting you one day, and we were talking about something, and he was off in another room, and before I left, he called me off into the other room and just went through this, just wanted to show me this collection that he had, and he was always so nice to me, and just a kind man, and I thought, you know, it'd be great if everybody approached life that way. I think that's how we make it to 93.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. You know, Mary Ellen, one more question, and then we'll get into the heavy news of the last few weeks. I got to see Norm at your birthday party last year. Was it a sudden? I know he hadn't been feeling the greatest the last few months, but was it sudden or just...
No, it wasn't sudden at all. It was a long, drawn-out process, and it was actually... pneumonia when you'd finally say what it was, along with other factors, but he hung on for a long time where he wasn't hardly able to stay alive, and so actually you know, I tell you, it was time.
Well, I know a lot of people called in during that time and wanted to express their condolences to you, so I'm glad we got a chance to remember a really, really great guy, and I really thought the newspaper did a great job in the article on his passing.
Oh, you know, they did. I was surprised at the big article, and I really appreciated that.
Mary Ellen, Vax-a-Million, as I said in the beginning here, on Thursday morning, it'll be the morning after the winner is announced. Now, for people who don't know, and I guess it would be hard for anybody not to know at this point, what's going on here is $5 million has been set aside by Governor DeWine from the federal money he received to help promote vaccinations, and there will be a drawing for people who've received at least one dose of the vaccination for 5 weeks, starting this Wednesday, in which $1 million will be given to an Ohio citizen. What do you make of Vax-a-Million, Mary Ellen?
Well, I guess it's working, isn't it? I heard that it was up, the vaccinations were up 45%. I was kind of surprised when he came out with that. I thought, oh, for heaven's sakes. And then all my friends are talking about it. They've all signed up. I haven't signed up, but it'll be interesting to see what the results is, and you know, it could be that other states will start to copy it if it's a big success, and it could end up to be a big success.
You know, Mary Ellen, the interesting thing is that a lot of the late-night comedians took kind of Governor DeWine to task last week, making light of this as kind of being hokey, that this is a very serious issue, that people need to be vaccinated, and here we're doing a million-dollar lottery with some of the money the state received. Do you think it's hokey or kind of goofy in any way to do this with such an important issue?
Well, it is important, and as I said, I heard it was working. So, what more can you ask? If it works, it'll be a big thing for the whole country to look at.
When I was talking with Governor Strickland last week, of course, we all know that Governor DeWine does want to run for another term. He has said this.
Oh, does he? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has said he hopes to run for another term. He would be up for re-election next year. The election would be next year. And we all also know that his party has been at odds with him, the legislature here in Ohio, over these health restrictions. And do you think that this Vax-a-Million in any way might be a political move for somebody who wants to be reelected governor who maybe isn't so popular in their own party right now?
Well, you know, that's a possibility. I didn't realize that he had announced he was running again. That really surprises me because of how long he's been in office. But I do think he's done a good job with the virus situation. I've heard people complain, but I thought he did a good job.
You know, I don't know if the formal announcement has come down, but I do know that they've asked him, and I think he has said he does intend to run again.
Okay.
So I.
Well, and now you were talking about other people running. You said that. Who all is running?
Well, right now we know that Nan Whaley has announced on the Democratic side, and she was on Friday, the mayor of Dayton. What do you make of Nan Whaley?
Oh, I think she's terrific, yeah.
And at this point, I think there's one other Democrat that has announced, but there has been a lot of talk because of the way that Mike DeWine has handled the virus, that he will face a challenger in a primary on the Republican side. Do you think that's a possibility for a sitting governor?
I do. I do not understand the Republican Party anymore. It has gone off the wall. I used to understand it. I don't anymore.
Well, the name that's been floated around when I had Governor Strickland on last week is Mr. Renacci, who I believe was an Ohio representative. He has not announced anything yet, but that he would come in as somebody who has not possibly agreed with Governor DeWine on a lot of things. And Governor Strickland said last week that he heard there was some internal polling that Governor DeWine is in trouble in his own party.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Republican Party has gone really, I have never seen anything like this. The standard Republican people that have been the big powerhouses have no control anymore. It's just gone out of control.
You know, Mary Ellen, and we look at this now, it seems to be in the state of Ohio, where we live, that the people who were in support of President Trump, and he did certainly carry Ohio pretty handedly in the last presidential election, are doing well in the polls. The Republicans who support Donald Trump, such as our Congressman Jim Jordan, and Josh Mandel, who's running for Senate, former treasurer, they seem to be getting a lot of attention, much more than maybe what used to be called a moderate Republican.
That's right. you're right there.
What do you think has happened to the moderate Republicans? I think Mike DeWine would be considered moderate.
Yes, I do too. And I think some of the people that have been presidents, say George Bush and some of the other Republicans that, you know, they're not active, they don't seem to be. They don't seem to be speaking out, and I don't know. It's just a totally different party, and I think it's very much of a concern.
With the way the Ohio legislature is and the possibility that Mike DeWine may face a Republican primary opponent, if the election were being held tomorrow for governor, do you think Governor DeWine could win a second term?
I don't know. But I tell you, I'll take into consideration, too, that Householder is still in office. And what is that situation? And why is he still there when what he has done? I cannot understand it.
When you look at somebody like Larry Householder and the fact that he is still in office, do you have any, for somebody who worked in Columbus as treasurer of the state of Ohio, what do you make of that? Would anything like that have happened 30 years ago?
Well, I hope not. It shows a lack of understanding of what our country's about. I mean, you don't have a criminal in office. You know, let's uphold the Constitution. Look at the thing. Everybody ought to read it once in a while.
When we look at the state of Ohio, and we will have local elections here in Marion this coming November, we'll have statewide elections, certainly governor next election cycle in 2022. We have went for Donald Trump pretty whole-handedly last two presidential elections. I can't remember the last time Marion elected a Democrat. It's been a few years. I think last time city council ran, a Democrat won by one vote. Cordray did not win, and before him, against Kasich, the Democratic candidate for governor did not do very well at all, Fitzgerald. What do the Democrats have to do this time in the gubernatorial race or any race in Ohio to survive?
Well, you know, that's a tough question. And we have a new person that is head of the Democratic Party in Ohio, and I do not know her. I can't really say her name right now because I don't know it. I think that all of those things are part of what we're going to have to deal with, and I'm anxious to see if she comes up with some good structure and ideas for the party, because that's what we really need.
In the past 8 years or so, what has been, in your opinion, the biggest problem with the Democratic Party in Ohio?
I'm always surprised. I was very surprised when they went Republican. And we used to be a Democratic, or, you know, Democrats would win. And, of course, Scott Schertzer has won and has always been able to win. And the sheriff won until the last time, so we're able to win. And as it goes on, it's harder and harder to get people to run in the Democratic Party because they see all this losing, and they don't want to lose. Nobody wants to run and lose, so. It is such a bad thing to have one party a lot stronger than another in an area, because then you don't have a healthy situation.
A lot of people have said that the Democrats have went too far to the left, and that is what is causing the chasm here in Ohio, that they are for the $15 minimum wage, that they want free college for everybody, and that they have to be more moderate to win in Ohio. Do you think there's anything to that?
I think moderation's always good. I remember what John Glenn said to me. He said, you got to steer clear toward the center. He said, you can't be way off to the left or the right. You got to be more in the center to win the vote. And I agree with that.
You know, Mary Ellen, in just a few weeks here, June the 2nd, Governor DeWine has announced that the state health orders will expire, and this will be the first time in almost a year, or over a year, that this has happened. Now, the numbers that we have so far on vaccinations in Ohio, now the state average is kind of up in the air right now because of this Vax-a-Million, but it's somewhere between 40% and 50% of people in the state have been vaccinated. As of last Thursday, our health commissioner, Tracy Kinsler, told me on the air that only 35% of people in Marion have been vaccinated, and that it did not look like the Vax-a-Million or the deadline of June the 2nd were causing the numbers to go up in Marion. Is this the right time to lift the health orders with the state not even half vaccinated yet?
Well, you know, I let the experts decide that. I do not know what I would do if I was an expert. I'd have to know all the information, and I do feel that when I go out without a mask that I'm fairly safe. And I talk to other people. Sometimes they feel that way. Sometimes people feel that they don't want to even go out yet. It to me, you know, I've been vaccinated. I was vaccinated a long time ago in January, and I feel like I'm safe to go out. But I do wear my mask in Kroger's, and you know, I have to wherever I go in where it says you have to wear your mask. And so I don't know, Scott. Let the experts decide. You know, it's up to them.
One thing we do know is that, and I believe this is right, the Ohio legislature, the Republican legislature, had said or made rumblings that on June 23rd, that if the health orders had not been lifted by then, that they were going to introduce a bill that would lift the governor's health orders. And as I said, they have been at odds with him for quite a while over this. A lot of bills have been vetoed, so on and so forth. Do you think that the timing of this by Governor DeWine is odd, that the legislature had said on the 23rd of June they were going to get them lifted anyway, and then he announces on June the 2nd that they're going to be lifted?
I think that everybody is really anxious for it, and it's probably the pressure from the people that's being put on everybody that's causing this. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. I don't know.
As you have said, and in the beginning, we heard a lot from Dr. Acton. We heard a lot from health officials, and we would think that those would be the experts. Is it odd to you that as we approach the end of these mandates, that we're not really hearing from doctors in press conferences anymore, that the politicians seem to be making these decisions?
Yeah, that's true. And I kind of like to listen to Dr. Fauci. I think he's kind of cute. I do. I get a kick out of him.
Well, have you seen, you know, it's interesting with Dr. Fauci. He certainly has been a face of this. Have you seen any of the dust-ups that he's had with our Representative Jim Jordan?
Yes, I did.
What do you make of those?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I am always shocked at what Jim Jordan does. He's a piece of work. And I don't know that you should ever talk to people like that. He needs to cool it down a little bit.
when he's up there questioning Dr. Fauci, I mean, this has made national news now, I think, on two different occasions. What do you think he's doing? Do you believe those are his true opinions, or is he trying to be representative of something else?
Well, it could be a little bit of both. He's so radical, and I'm always shocked at how he talks to people. You need to talk to people with respect, especially, my gosh, especially Dr. Fauci, who has done a wonderful job for the country. He should give people respect. It's missing. I heard a speech by Tim Ryan, and I bet you've seen it too, on talking about the Republican Party and how they're not accepting the fact that Biden has won. I heard that was the best speech I've heard anybody give in a long time. Did you happen to hear it?
I did, and he's making a run, I believe, for the Senate. Do you think that the Senate seat held by Portman, which right now we see Ryan, and I believe Governor Strickland has endorsed him, that's also the seat Josh Mandel is running for. It's a Republican seat right now. Do you think there's a chance to make that a Democratic seat?
Absolutely. I think Tim Ryan's got a real good chance.
What is giving him a shot in the past where that hasn't been the case as a Democrat?
Well, it hasn't been open before. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that Portman has had it for quite a while at this point.
Well, yes, Portman, when you get in, I think it's usually easier to get reelected. And I really don't remember the details back when Portman first started. When did he go into office? Do you remember?
It's been quite a while ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, once he becomes really fixed in that office, it's very hard to get somebody out. But I think a Democrat has a very good chance to win that.
You know, it's interesting. I was just looking here at the gubernatorial race, and at this particular point, it looks on the Democratic side that the only person who has declared is Nan Whaley. It says John Cranley, the mayor of Cincinnati, has filed his paperwork. Potential candidates are David Pepper and let's see here. On the Republican side, it does say that Mike DeWine has declared, and that Mary Taylor might be a potential former lieutenant governor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's got to be exciting, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, that was the primary race last time on the Republican side, former lieutenant governor Mary Taylor. Do you think with Ohio's makeup that she might have a shot this time?
Well, you never know. What has she done? Do you know what she's doing in the meantime here? Has she been in any part of government in any way?
You know, the only thing that I know is that, you know, honestly, I don't think since the governor's race that she's done anything that I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And as I said, Jim Renacci, former congressman, representative, has pretty well made some allusions that he would like to run.
I don't know him. If they have quite a few people in the race, it'll get really exciting. And that's rather unusual when you have the incumbent running again, you know.
Do you think that coronavirus ultimately in his own party, as you said, normally incumbents don't have a primary challenge. In this case, there are a lot of people who are, well, there are two that are already declared. They're kind of outliers, but Renacci certainly has held office. Mary Taylor has certainly held office. That so many people are saying they want to run against incumbent Mike DeWine. Do you think coronavirus is what's brought this up? The Republican Party doesn't feel he's handled it?
Yes, I think that. And I think, too, that it's his age. His age is a question right now. And you know that I don't know if that'll make a difference or not.
Do you think that he should run for a second term, DeWine?
Oh, that's for him to decide, not me. I don't know, Scott. You're asking me some tough questions this morning.
You know, are you surprised? I mean, in Ohio right now, I mean, there are so many big political issues. I can't remember a time like this in quite a while.
Yes. Well, what all are you referring to, for instance?
Well,
the virus.
The virus, the lifting of sanctions, the issues with the legislature and householder, the people declaring.
Well, that, you know, I can't understand how that something hasn't happened there. What is going on with our government that we've got him in there yet? It's, you know, I just can't believe it.
Well, do you think, is there anything the Democrats could do in Ohio in that particular situation?
Well, I think somebody like a judge or somebody ought to be doing something. I don't think the Democrats can do anything. I think it's got to be, the laws of the land have to take over here.
When we look at the Republican Party in Ohio, how would you describe it at this point? As you understand it, what are they for? What is their goal?
Well, they're not for anything like they used to be. They used to talk about not spending money, and they're still talking about that, although it didn't matter. While Trump was in office, they spent like crazy. And family values. Can you believe family values? Now, you know, householder, family values. Does that fit? No. And, I mean, you can go down the list on the things that they used to believe in, and they're gone.
Well, it is interesting because Representative Jordan, I think, has been somewhat critical of Governor DeWine. Certainly, these people running who want to run against him in a primary for governor have been critical of him. Josh Mandel, former treasurer, since he announced he was running for Senate, has been very critical of Governor DeWine and his mandates. What do you make of that? That people who are running in the Republican primaries are being critical of the Republican governor.
Yes, it's rather unusual. Usually, in the Republican Party, the person in charge was respected, and everybody bonded together. They are not bonded together anymore. They're all gone in 50 different directions, and that's how you don't win elections, I'll tell you.
In Ohio, who at this point would you say is in charge of the Republican Party? Is it the governor? Is it Jim Jordan because of his national attention? Is it the Josh Mandels? Who would you say is the face of the Republican Party in Ohio?
Who is the person that's their chairman? Do you know?
You know, I can find that information. I'm not sure who it is at this point.
Well, that's who it's supposed to be. But when you have a sitting governor, I would think it would be a sitting governor.
As far as so much of Mike DeWine's first term, Governor DeWine, has been kind of dominated by this coronavirus, when you look back at it, what grade would you give him on how he handled this?
Well, I thought he, I've told you, I thought he did a good job. I would say I'd give him a B, maybe even a B plus, yeah.
Did you ever think at the beginning of Mike DeWine's term that you would be saying that about Mike DeWine?
No, I didn't, but, you know, I have, I've watched him in this virus, and I feel that he's done a good job.
I know Jane.
You know, I supported Rich Cordray, 100%.
What have you made of his position with the loans for colleges, the education department that he's ascended to in the Biden administration?
I think that's a perfect place for him. I think he'll do a wonderful job there. I was really glad that Rich Cordray got that job.
It looks like right now the head of the Republican Party, I believe, is a guy named Brian Williams. He's acting. Jane Timken had been there, but she is now a candidate for the Senate seat.
Where is he from?
Brian Williams. It's Brian C. Williams here. Let's see. He's the acting chair, and it looks like he... let's see, where was he from here in Ohio? Looks like Summit.
Summit County.
Summit County.
Really? That's a Democratic county.
Yeah, Summit County Chair of the Board of Elections.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He resides in, let's see, Fairton.
Okay. And what's the name of the Democrat woman that won?
The head of the Democratic Party?
Democratic Party, yeah.
Let me pull that up here. Mary Ellen, you said at the beginning here you did not enter the Vax-a-Million. Was there any particular reason?
Because I frankly thought I wouldn't win. I didn't care for the idea, really, but I see that it's successful, so I'll change my statement. I think it's maybe a good idea if it's successful.
It looks like the chair is Liz Walters.
Liz Walters, and where is she from? Is it about the same area, I think?
Yeah, same neck of the woods.
Yeah,
there.
Summit County, yeah. That's interesting, isn't it?
Is it interesting that for the first time, I think, the head of the Democratic Party in Ohio committee is a woman, and also the only declared nominee on the Democratic side, Nan Whaley, also a woman. Now, for somebody who certainly was a pioneer for females in politics in Ohio, what do you make of that?
Oh, I think it's good, yeah. I think it's very good that we keep out there.
You know, I hesitate to say this because we've had this about Ohio's never had a female governor. And at one point, you were even asked to run for governor back in the 1990s. Do you think it's going to be harder for Nan Whaley, just by the fact that she's a woman, to possibly win that seat?
Well, she's been very, very active. She's been involved in many things on TV, and she's known. So I think she's got a good chance. And I think people are changing their mind about the ability of women to lead. They can lead well, and I think things are on the up for women. We've got a vice president too, you know. Yeah.
What advice would you give Nan Whaley about her run, which just has started?
Well, I think you want to stay toward the center. That's my advice.
Could you see yourself at some point, and we don't know who all the candidates are going to be in the primary, could you see yourself endorsing somebody like Nan Whaley if she would ask for that?
Well, I probably should. You know, I usually don't endorse in the primary, and the last race for Jim Jordan's race, I endorsed in the primary, which is the first time I did that, and I usually try not to endorse in the primary, but if they're really highly qualified, I would do it, yeah.
With us just coming off the pandemic and this governor's race coming up, which apparently is going to be a very interesting primary on both sides, could you see yourself at this point doing any campaign work for anybody in Ohio?
Well, if they ask me, I don't think I'd volunteer it, but if they ask me to help, I would.
A couple things, and again, Mary Ellen is going to be with us Thursday morning live in studio for 2 hours from 8 to 10, so we'll go more in depth on a lot of these things, and who knows what will happen between now and Thursday. We'll have the
that's right.
the first winner of Vax-a-Million on Wednesday night. You know, Mary Ellen, why in the beginning were you against Vax-a-Million, as you said?
Well, what went through my mind is, why are they spending their money this way? And then I've thought about, and then I thought, well, you know, they're going to be given an awful lot of it back in taxes right away, so they're not going to be ending up with a whole lot of money when they get done. And it's just a real fascinating thought. I just was shocked to hear somebody come up with that idea.
Do you, Governor Strickland had brought this out, and we really don't know yet. We know the Ohio Lottery Commission is handling it, but we don't know how it will be announced, who the winner will be. I don't think they've said how that's going to happen. If Mike DeWine, who, according to the paperwork here, is a declared candidate for governor, would it be proper for him to bring this up in a press conference or announce who the winner is? Of $1 million of federal funding?
Well, he's got the, it was his idea, so he's got the right to do that if he wants to do it. It would be up to him.
Do you think at that point, if he did it, it would look very political, the reason he did it?
Yes, absolutely.
A couple of quick questions here before we part. Just on the city level here, we got the word from Tracy Kinsler last week. Here in Marion County, 35% of the population has been vaccinated. That's below the state average by quite a bit. We live in Marion County. What do you make of that number, 35%?
Well, I wish more people would get vaccinated. They need to.
Do you have any explanation as to why here it's about 10 points below the state average?
Well, it was a heavy Trump-supporting area, so that has something to do with it.
Another question, Mary Ellen, on the local level, just because we talked about it a little bit last time we were together, but it's turned into a big ongoing issue in city politics. The city auditor, and of course you know about dealing with money, without going too deep into it, Robert Landon had made a mispayment to the IRS, or made a mispayment to the state that should have gone to the IRS of $1.28 million, and it's all kind of been ironed out money-wise, but City Council has now a committee that's investigating this situation that does have subpoena power. What do you make of this continuing drama here in the city?
Well, I think it's necessary to look into it further because, my goodness, that's a very strange thing to happen. I don't see how anybody could make that mistake, but they did.
Well, you've dealt with a lot of money in your life, the positions of treasurer. $1.28 million, do you think that it could have just been a paperwork oversight, which I think is what it's been described as?
I think it's carelessness. And, you know, I think when you take care of other people's money, it's very, very important to make sure that everything's correct. I just don't see how they could make a mistake like that.
Mayor Schertzer, the last time he was on, and Ayers Ratliff, who's on the committee to investigate this, which currently they are, have both said that they feel that one of the issues there is just inexperience in that kind of position, and that help has been offered by the mayor's office, but not accepted in certain occasions. Do you think that if you don't have the knowledge in a position like that, and something like this happens, that you should leave that position?
Well, I don't know. I think that you should make sure you're doing things correctly. I spent a lot of time talking to the Attorney General and checking things out if I didn't know what was correct. You have to do that, and when you're taking care of money, especially, you just can't take the chance of making a mistake like that. And there is all kinds of people that can help you, and to not take the chance to talk to the mayor when he's been in office a long time and knows how to do things, I think that's a big mistake.
One final question on this, Mary Ellen, because I know you stay up to date and read the paper about what's going on. Locally, it always seemed locally like maybe the Republican and Democratic Party didn't mean a whole lot, that everybody could work together somewhat locally. We have seen press releases published in the paper. We've seen them sent out. They've been here from the Republican Party saying that this whole $1.28 million issue has been political, that it was a mistake, but it's really being politicized and the inferences by the Democrats. Do you think this is a political issue politicized by the local Democratic Party?
No, I think it's a terrible mistake that he's made, and I think it should not be swept under the rug. It should be looked into.
When you read press releases like that, which clearly are a little pointed, politically, what do you think? Did you ever release press releases like that?
Well, I released press releases all the time about all the money I was making for Marion County. It was $2 million that I made for my investments when I was in office. I made $2 billion for the state of Ohio when I was in office. And whenever you had information that was needed to be put out, you should put it out there. But he has not had good information coming out, and he needs to really make sure he's doing the right things with everything that he's responsible for.
You know, and Mary Ellen, before we part ways this morning, and people who've listened certainly know your opinion on the gentleman, but and we'll have a lot more to discuss on Thursday when you're in here, but he is making a lot of news. Are you surprised by the Josh Mandel candidacy for Senate?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it is commercial, yeah.
What do you, I guess, in one word, how do you describe his candidacy at this point?
Well, as, I don't know, he's got a commercial out way ahead of everybody else, hasn't he? I mean, I haven't seen anybody else have a commercial out there. It's strange to have it out so early and such a unusual commercial.
What did you make of the commercial?
Well, I didn't think much of it. I don't know what to say. I thought of it, really.
Well, Mary Ellen, I cannot wait to have you in here on Thursday. I think it'll be a fun morning, certainly lots to talk about, and we'll have the first winner of Vax-a-Million, and, you know, it's going to be an interesting week, to say the least.
It is, that's right. Okay, well, we'll look forward to Thursday.
Thank you. One of my favorite people, Mary Ellen Withrow. Thank you, Mary Ellen.
Yes. You're welcome. Bye.
All right, there we go, and that is Monday. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
New sheriff is in town, and we're going to talk. Call me. Let's talk. Let's dialogue. Let's see what's going on. Fill me in, and I'm going to surely give you my opinions.
It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.